All right, hello and welcome to a new episode of the Jack Hellers podcast. And I know I say it every week, but before we start, I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who's listening to this episode and who has listened to every subsequent episode as well. Really means a lot to me that you take the time out to listen to this podcast. So what I want to do today is I actually want to talk about something that makes me a little bit uncomfortable, and that is myself. I know what you're thinking. Oh my God, he's already started. He's going to just tell us his life story. What a narcissist, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? It's my podcast, so deal with it. No, specifically what I want to talk about is an Instagram post that I put up just over a week ago now, which I titled, very clickbaity-wise, Fitness Nearly Ruined My Life. And yes, the title is a little bit clickbaity. It has to be in today's age of social media tropes and all that sort of stuff. But the message behind this post is very real and unfortunately is something that I dealt with for years. And that is that fitness did very nearly ruin my life. Well, fitness didn't. My idea of what fitness was at the time nearly ruined my life. And I have to say that because it was a very skewed perspective. You know, back then I hadn't started as a personal trainer yet. I'd only really been training in gyms for about 6 months or so. And all of my fitness knowledge came from watching videos on YouTube from influencers. Now, these influencers didn't do anything wrong at all. You know, they were varying levels of intelligence, varying levels of knowledge, varying levels of actual fitness background. Some of them were former personal trainers. Some of them were still online coaches. Some of them were just bodybuilders. But the common thread that they all had was that they all competed in bodybuilding. And this was my problem, was that I used to watch a lot of those kind of YouTube series that were, you know, people prepping for bodybuilding shows. So my favorite at the time was Christian Guzman. I used to love his summer shredding series. And, you know, this isn't me blaming Christian Guzman for anything, by the way. None of these people did anything wrong. This was my own skewed perception. But I used to love that series. I'd follow it religiously. And I wouldn't watch any of these people's other content. So, you know, for a good 2 or 3 years, I couldn't tell you anything else that Christian Guzman uploaded. I just really liked summer shredding. I loved watching him get ready for a bodybuilding show. And especially that first year, you know, I saw a guy go from being, you know, a fairly normal looking human being to being absolutely dick skin lean, looking really vascular, really muscular, lots of cuts. You know, it was the first time I'd ever really seen anyone look, you know, next level, essentially. His physique was insane. It was crazy. And I looked at it and I thought, that's how I want to be. And unfortunately, I didn't pay attention to the whole story or anything like that. You know, all I saw was a guy who, at the start of the series, looked, you know, no more quote unquote impressive than I did. You know, obviously looking back, he had more muscle than I did. I just didn't really have particularly accurate comparisons of these things at the time. And I saw him eat less calories than he needed to. And I saw him do cardio and I saw him work out 6-7 days a week. And I saw him grind and, you know, push through even when he had shit sleep and all that sort of stuff. And I thought that was the work ethic I needed to have, was that I needed to work really hard, you know, which is kind of a admirable trait, but I took it too far. And I thought to myself that I had to work really hard, and that I always had to grind this hard, and that doing so was going to totally transform my physique, that it was going to help me build muscle, it was going to help me do that while getting lean at the same time, and I'd actually be able to get shredded and have six-pack abs while building muscle all in one go if I, you know, restricted my calories and I did 30 minutes on the Stairmaster every day and I did an extra, you know, 12,000 steps every day and I trained every day and I did this like high volume push-pull leg split or whatever. And, you know, it was just taken to the excessive. And then When I didn't see the results that I wanted, my first thought process was then, I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. Because that was something that a lot of these bodybuilder guys as well talked about was, you know, you need to do more. You need to train harder. You need to work harder. You know, you need to do the Dwayne Johnson and be the hardest worker in the room. And back then, I didn't realize that, you know, it was probably more a case of working smart that was going to get me where I wanted to be. And I also didn't realize that in order to grow muscle, you need to eat more food. And I just thought that eating more food was going to make me fat. I also didn't realize that you could track calories to maintain body composition either, and that that was eating more food. I didn't know anything other than if I was going to track calories, I had to track calories to get me shredded. And then it just never became enough, you know, every vein, every cut just made me want to see more, you know, it made me want to see more and more and more, made me want to get leaner and leaner and leaner. You know, I lost more and more weight. I was doing more and more steps, more and more cardio, eating less and less food, training twice a day. And then one day I just snapped, you know, I remember coming home and I was starving. I was absolutely fucking starving. You know, and I was quite surprised that I hadn't been more hungry before this, really, after kind of burning the candle at both ends for a good 6 months at this point. And I remember going to the pantry and just raiding it, like absolutely raiding it. I ate everything in sight, literally everything. And I'm not going to go into lots of details here because I do feel like that would be triggering or upsetting for some people who listen to this. So, you know, I also don't want to share all of the kind of in-depth stuff because I think that's still highly personal. But, you know, I ate everything and that was literally in sight and it made me feel very, very sick. And I did eat to the point of overfeeding, completely overfeeding. It was a complete and utter binge eating episode. And, you know, I remember after that sort of being like, wow, what the hell just happened? You know, and just thinking, you know what? I watch these bodybuilder guys a lot and they all have these cheat days where they eat themselves sick. Maybe that's what this is, except I just didn't plan it. So I didn't get to eat nice food. I just ate everything. you know, and it was this warped perception that fitness was solely dictated by old school bodybuilding methods that really aren't healthy. You know, I didn't know that bodybuilding was designed to have you looking your best. I knew it was designed to have you looking your best, but I didn't realize that generally when you look your best, regardless of who you are, what gender you are, what age you are, you're probably going to feel your worst. You know, I didn't realize, especially not being on anabolic steroids, that, you know, body compositions like that are not meant to be maintained for the long run. You know, so to give you an example, I was 70 kilograms at my lightest. You know, I'm about 5'10", so I'm 178 centimeters tall. And I'm a very bottom heavy person. I have quite big legs. So really for my upper body, there wasn't much there. And you know, if you want to see all this, you can go to my Instagram. If you haven't already, go to my Instagram, Jack Allo's Fitness. You can read the post, you can look at the photos. But the thing is, because I was training and because I was exercising and all that sort of stuff, nobody really saw any issue with this. They were kind of like, oh, he's doing healthy things. But they didn't see what was going on in the background and they didn't know what was going on in my head. And you know, at the point of being my lightest, you know, people were telling me like, oh, you look good. You know, you are very lean. You've got a six pack. You know, I got the nickname at uni, Six Pack Jack and stuff. And that became my personality. Like, you know, the six pack gave me confidence, which is so fucked up when you think about it, but it did. It gave me confidence. It gave me a whole new lease of life in my head anyway. But it meant that anything that happened that could potentially threaten the existence of my six pack, so eating more food or moving a little bit less or going out to dinner with my friends or all that sort of stuff, it would make me so anxious. It would make me terrified, absolutely terrified. You know, I missed one of my best friend's final uni recitals because I had a binge episode because I was so anxious about the fact that we might go out for dinner afterwards. You know, and it became hellish, honestly. You know, the photo that I put on Instagram was 70 kilograms. In my head, I was looking at it afterwards and thinking I was fat. You know, I was wearing the lifting belt to do overhead presses with 30 kilos, not because I found it heavy, not because I found that it put pressure on my lower back, just simply because I felt that the belt made my waist look thinner. You know, and I actually remember a guy who used to train at the gym that I used to train at, Tabriz. He was a really nice dude. Always had really good chats with him. He came up to me one day and he said, "Man, I wear a belt for lifting too, and I've never seen anybody wear a belt like that." Because I had the belt on the wrong way around. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing with it. I didn't even know what it was for. I genuinely just had it on to make my waist look smaller. You know, I was wearing it for lateral raises. I was wearing it for bicep curls. I was wearing it for fucking everything. It was just one of those old like Velcro Harbinger belts that you can get for like $30 from Rebel Sport. And that was the only reason that I was wearing it, which is equal parts sad and equal parts kind of funny when I look back on it in hindsight. But, you know, these issues took me down a really, really dark path, you know, to get a little bit serious and to get a little bit, you know, kind of bring the mood down a little bit. They really did. And I got to some seriously hellish degrees of issues during those years. You know, I really, really went to some dark places, and I'm forever grateful for my family and the support network that I had. You know, my mum and dad knew what was going on a lot longer than I thought they did. And they basically did everything they could to help me, you know, and that involved, you know, getting me to see doctors, getting me to see psychologists, psychiatrists, getting me to get proper professional help to deal with this. Because the thing is, and this is what a lot of personal trainers, I think, get it wrong, is that we're not here to deal with mental health problems. We're not here to be a psychologist, to be a psychiatrist. Yes, for our clients, we're going to sit there and we can offer some life advice if they ask us. You know, if they say to us, you know, what do you think I should do? Like, you know, I really hate my job at the moment. I got this interview here. Do you reckon I should go for it? You know, we can give you a yes. Go and see, go do the interview, you know, like a friend would or whatever. But when it comes to proper mental health issues, we're not qualified for that and we're not covered for that. So if you out there are a personal trainer and you have a client who is exhibiting any red flags of this, please refer them out to get proper help. And likewise, if you are somebody out there who is struggling with these kind of issues, please know that it is not embarrassing. It is not shameful. It is not something to be looked down upon to get actual help for these issues, because there are professionals out there who are trained to help people with these issues, and I can attest to the fact that they do a good job, and that they do just have your best interests at heart, and that sometimes being able to get a non-biased opinion is so, so important. And you know, that the psychologist I had and the psychiatrist that I had, they'll never listen to this. I don't think they would know this podcast exists. But you know, if by chance they ever do, you know, I would say a big, big thank you to them, because they played such a big part in my recovery. And they set such good expectations for me. You know, they didn't overburden me with things to do. They recognized that this was something that was going to take a lot of time, and they invested that time in me. And that made me want to then invest the time into getting better. And believe me when I say that this took a long time to get better. You know, there were lots of little micro steps along the way. I remember the first one being when I went to actually do my PT certifications and looking around the room and realizing there were no bodybuilders in the room. You know, everybody there was different shapes, different sizes, different backgrounds, different facets of fitness. You know, it made me realize, you know, it's the first time really that I realized that there was more to fitness and more to being healthy than just being shredded. You know, I remember there were a couple of powerlifter guys in the course, and you know, the breakfast was like chocolate milk and, you know, like then a energy drink and all this stuff, and like, you know, seeing that and realizing like, okay, I don't have to always eat really healthy and be really on point all the time, and I can still look like I lift and I can still move big weight and all that sort of stuff. You know, that's a little bit liberating. You know, and I remember realizing like I was eating less food than some of the girls there were, who were, you know, 20 kilos lighter than I was. And I was kind of like, oh, well, why can they eat so much food? And then, you know, you're seeing that they just trained like badasses and they just wanted to, you know, be able to grow some muscle and stuff. Like, I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, that makes a lot more sense too. So, you know, I started taking these small steps and started trying to eat more food and stop demonizing foods and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of this came down to, as well, confidence and, you know, my own kind of belief in myself, and, you know, anxiety and everything played a big part. There was a lot of that. But I started getting more and more educated on fitness, and I started realizing that in order to be a good personal trainer, I wasn't going to be going into a gym and standing in the middle of the room and trying to motivate everyone by taking all my fucking clothes off and showing them my abs. You know, there's probably some very specific gyms around the world where you can do that and you get paid for that. But I think I don't really know if people go there to work out, to be honest. I think that's something a little bit different. But, you know, it was more about what was going on in my head. You know, what did I know? How much could I help someone, you know, whether that was with their squat, whether that was getting them lean in a healthy manner, whether it was helping them grow muscle, whether it was helping them to no longer have knee pain or back pain. You know, I started to realize there were more facets to fitness, and that how I looked was probably the least important part of my job. You know, and it was kind of at that point that I sort of swore that I would do this job to be the person that I needed on day one when I walked through the gym doors, that I would try and, you know, train people in a manner that made them realize that, yes, they could lose weight if they wanted to and they needed to, but that there were healthier ways to do it and there were better ways to do it and there were ways to do it that didn't involve them than winding up, you know, with an eating disorder, wondering how the fuck they got there and how this thing that was supposed to be really good for them had basically ruined their life. You know, so that was what I wanted to do, was I wanted to be that person that I needed. And I knew deep down that in order to be able to do that, I had to recover from the things that were ailing me, because how could I truly be believable with this if I was still struggling with this myself? And that's not to say that we're not allowed to have these struggles sometimes, because we're all going to feel that way at times, right? Like, we're always going to have times where we're happier with our body than other times, and we're always going to have times where we compare ourselves to other people. And it's not so much about preventing you ever doing that. It's more about realizing when you're doing that, catching yourself up and going, you know what, it's okay for me to look at that other bloke over there and think, fuck, his arms are huge. I love arms that big. I wonder what I can do to get my arms that big. Or, you know, I hear it all the time in the gym with women. They're like, oh my God, look at that girl's glutes. You know, and I'm like, look, it's 2023. I can't look at those glutes because there's probably a camera out there somewhere and I'm going to end up on fucking Joey Swole's TikTok. but, you know, they're like, I want glutes like that. And it's like, instead of just thinking about it as like, I'm never going to look like that person, think of, what can I do to look more like that, in terms of like that body part or whatever? Or what can I do for my body to then resemble that a little bit more, while still remembering that, you know what, I actually look pretty fucking good as well at the moment, and that, you know, we're two different people and I may never look exactly like that, but that's okay, because as long as I know that I'm doing the best I can to look this way that I want to look, then that's great. But it's also important to then remember too, like, you're not your body. You're a lot more than your body. And this was something I really enjoyed speaking to Eugene Teo about recently, was, you know, when he gave up bodybuilding and he came out of the sport and stopped competing and he lost a lot of muscle mass because of it, he realized, you know, nothing changed other than the size of his muscles. You know, he was still him, and he actually felt a lot more free and a lot more liberated and a lot happier, because he was able to start doing more than just worrying about how big his biceps were and, you know, how much muscle was on his back and, you know, how his fucking lat spread looked and all that sort of stuff. And that's very important to realize too, is that if you are, you know, if you're currently 35 years old, and you've got two kids, you've just moved house, you've just got a promotion at work, you know, you're planning holidays all the time around school holidays, you're taking your kids to school, you know, your partner's working late hours, all these sorts of things that dig into your time. Yes, we've all got the same 24 hours in a day, but those 24 hours look fucking different for everyone. And chances are at 35, those 24 hours are going to look very different to what they did at 25. So comparing yourself to yourself at 25 and comparing yourself to other 25-year-olds and going, why can't I do that? Probably because you have 6 or 7 less available hours in a day that you maybe did back then. So it's always worth tempering these expectations and remembering, A, you're not your body. You're so much more than that. You know, you have a brain. You have a heart, likely a good one. You know, you have a personality. You have things that make you you that are not just visible on the outside. Alongside that, you have responsibilities. You likely have a job. You know, you have people that you spend your time with. And okay, maybe some of you listening to this don't. You know, maybe some of you are, you know, really committed to looking your absolute absolute best, and you're doing it in a way that is as healthy as you can, while still being able to maintain enough of a balance to be happy. And if that's you, I applaud you. I really do. But it's not always for everyone all the time, and that's so important to remember. Anyway, there's a little tangent there, just because I think that's important to note. But yeah, you know, it's got to be important for me to flag that it wasn't fitness that nearly ruined my life. Not what fitness actually is anyway. You know, what I thought fitness was is not what it is. You know, fitness is so many different things. It's strength, it's power, it's agility, you know, it's mental health, it's physical health. Yes, aesthetic is one part of that. Body composition is one part of that. And I help men and women every day try to transform their bodies and change their body fat percentage and change their body composition. But you know what the one important thing to note on that is? It's that I tell them that this is a decision and a choice that they are making. And they've always got the choice to go back on that decision. So if somebody starts dieting and they tell me that they want to lose 15 kilos and they lose 12, and they're really happy with where they've got to, and they're starting to really struggle. They're starting to fucking daydream about cookies and pizza and ice cream. And, you know, they're really struggling to balance their current calorie intake with anniversaries, with dates, with Valentine's Day just gone, you know. And they say to me, I don't want to diet anymore. I want to bring my calories up, and I want to eat at maintenance, or I want to go to a surplus. I want to build. That is okay. That is perfectly okay. And I'm more than happy to do that for you. And in fact, I'm really happy to hear that. And I'm proud of you for making that decision. You know, I think sometimes too many coaches just kind of push people that little bit too far just for the before and after result. And look, don't get me wrong. It's great when you get a client who absolutely nails it and gets fucking shredded and they get really lean and you see it and you're like, wow, what a result. But, you know, to me, getting somebody to lose weight, get happy with their body, be happy with where they are, still achieve a good result, you know, on the photos and everything, but probably achieve an even better result because they're still healthy and they're able to now reverse diet out or go back to maintenance, bring their calories up, all that sort of stuff, and have a better body composition while still balancing their life. That's pretty fucking cool as well, you know? So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with all this. I didn't really have a plan coming into this podcast about what specifically I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to be a bit more open about my story and kind of hope that, you know, anybody who resonates can, you know, sort of see that it is possible to not let these things define you. And, you know, that was something for me, was that I'm so grateful that I never got labeled, you know, constantly with these illnesses or these diseases, these mental issues. You know, I don't even know what you call them. They conditions, they illnesses, I don't fucking know. You know, but I never got continually labeled. You know, in private, yes, my psychologist would have made notes, my psychiatrist would have made notes, you know, and yes, they did discuss things with me. They did tell me, we think you show signs of this and that you are on the verge of this, or that we genuinely think that you have this and we need to help you with this. But it was never, we're going to slap this label on top of your head and leave you there with it. It was more kind of a, you know, this is what we're treating you for, but, you know, we're treating a human being and we're treating a person. And so that for me was very important. And I think, you know, take that into your fitness journey as well. You know, you don't have to sit there and be, you know, I am dieting, so therefore I am a diet person all the time, you know, or I'm a bodybuilder now, so I'll have to be a bodybuilder forever. I'll always have to be lean and jacked, or nobody will love me. Or, you know, I'm a powerlifter now and I got injured and I can't bench press anymore, so that means everybody hates me because I can't bench press. No, these things are not your identity. They're just something that you really enjoy doing, and they're something that, you know, is a part of your life, but you need to be okay if that part of your life stops as well. And you need to find ways to be able to deal with that, you know. And similarly, you know, there'll always be times in life where you're unhappy with your body and you may want to shed some kilos, feel more comfortable in your skin. You may even want to challenge yourself with a photo shoot or to get on stage. But yeah, just remember, it's only a single chapter of the journey, and fitness isn't obsessing over your body fat percentage all year round, every year, for the rest of your life. There will always be different chapters, always be different stages. And it's about learning to make the most of those and make those as enjoyable as you can as well. So yeah, that's all from me today. I'm going to stop waffling. I hope this gives all of you some value. And just know that, you know, you all have a lot more to offer than just your body, essentially. You know, your body fat percentage doesn't define you. Your body composition doesn't define you. Yeah, just be good people. That's what matters deep down, really. I'll speak to you all in the next one. Peace out.